Welcome back to the Outreach Project. This is Josh.
This is Zach.
And today we are joined with...
Pastor Joe.
Hello, Pastor Joe.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for coming to my house.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having us.
As the YouTube viewers can see, we are in Pastor Joe Jackson's home. Mm-hmm. Came out here to Warsaw, Indiana.
Yeah, long drive?
25.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Long drive for you in the morning?
Same, about 25, you know. If you speed a little bit, maybe 23, but Columbia City cops are ruthless, and they'll definitely pull you over on 30. So
yeah, be careful out
yeah,
there.
My wife got pulled over, so shout out to her. But
there we go.
We'll be all right.
How recently?
On Sunday.
Okay.
But we'll just leave it at that. So she was just excited to get to church. Let's just say that.
Before church, he was, you know, breaking the law. But
yeah, I mean, he was sitting, like, because obviously I get to church early, you know, and...
Obviously.
I'm a pastor. Like, I was probably there at 5 a.m. this week, but no, but I mean, it was probably like whatever time church starts, 9. I was probably there 8:30, and I saw him sitting on 30, like aiming out of Columbia City. And I literally thought, like, I should text Kate so she doesn't speed. And then she texts me, and she's like, got pulled over. And I was like, dude, of course you got pulled over, you know, but it's a good, you know, humbling experience. Maybe it'll slow her down a little bit because, you know, obviously it doesn't matter what I say, so it's all right. Yeah,
so my most recent time getting pulled over was 2 months ago, month and a half ago.
That's pretty recent.
Not as recent as Sunday, but
hey, I'm not coming to her defense on that one.
No, I was leaving for work in the morning and get pulled over, so
tough.
I call my girlfriend Addie after, and I'm like, hey, just so you know, the cops are out.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I saw that one. Did it get you? I'm like, oh, gee, thanks. So, right.
It's true, though. Yeah.
There's a bridge by Speedway closed getting to the high school or old business 30. So watch out, Columbia City.
True.
They're out there.
Yeah, I mean, if you know someone's coming after you, like who's going to be at the same place you are, and then you think, maybe I should text or call them, like, just do it. You know what I mean? Like, just
text
ahead.
Maybe while you're driving.
Yeah, I mean.
Voice text.
Yeah, usually I just text Owen and say, hey, man, slow down a little bit. we all know Owen does not speed.
His dad's a cop, so he...
True, yeah, he's...
He technically, you know, can't speed.
True, yeah. No, he can't. He can't.
No, it's in his blood.
I think that there's a governor
speed
on his car. It's at 60. I mean, probably, he can't. Yeah, probably. He can't speed. Maybe 61.
Yeah, I've been pulled over on the way to church, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun.
Columbia City cop.
Yeah.
Was he rude?
No. He, oh. Like, hey, I can see you going to church. I'll get you out of here fast.
Super and rude to Kate.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, it's really bad.
What's his badge?
He was in an all-white, unmarked Durango, so don't speed.
Kids in the car?
Yeah, for sure. But they were, like, silent, which they're never silent in the car. Usually they're screaming on the way there, especially Frances. She hates the car.
So they're
rattled.
They were
just silent. I don't know. Maybe it was just like the Holy Spirit working. Like, Kate needs to stop speeding, and, you know, so we'll just keep these kids quiet. So the cop kind of gives her the full treatment.
Did she cry?
She did not cry. No, she was pretty frustrated. Okay. I mean, she was just mad that, like, he was kind of rude, so, which is fair. But,
okay.
Well. Yeah. So don't speed.
Well, perfect. So yeah,
don't speed, kids. All right.
Obviously, based off the conversation, you guys can tell Joe is a pastor at our church.
Yeah.
The most recent hire, correct?
For pastor.
For pastor.
Yeah, yeah, there's another. Kim just got up. She's the operations director. But, yeah, I mean, I beat her by, what, 2 weeks? So
there you go. you're not the rookie.
I'm not. That's true.
So you want to tell us just a bit of, I guess, what you do, what you've done so far,
sure,
all of that?
For sure. So... So my role is student ministries pastor, and so that basically means I kind of have oversight over 6th through 12th grade students at First Church. And so what that actually means practically is, like, anything that happens in student ministry kind of comes from me-ish. You know, hopefully it's not just, like, from me, but, you know, kind of the vision, the mission, the hopes and dreams, you know, to really, like, you know, inspire and lead this next generation to the Lord is kind of where I have my hands right now. You know, right now it's a lot of just kind of getting my feet on the ground, you know, jumping into a church that's, you know, really big with a lot of students and a lot of energy, but there's a lot of oversight that has to happen for those things to be successful, especially successful in the long term. I'm just trying to be, you know, patient, ask good questions, listen, you know, to guys like you who have been there, you know, a long time. And, you know, just try and buy in where I can, and then hopefully, you know, add some good oversight and wisdom, to kind of the, you know, capital M ministry. So
yeah. And so you've said many times, because I'm sure people freak out at change. Change is not natural. It's
For sure.
Normal, but it's not natural. That's fair. So people can think, oh, he's gonna come in and be a wrecking ball or whatever. And many times you've reassured the church, the students, the student leaders, hey, I'm not coming in here and changing up everything and how that rolls.
But right.
You want to touch just a little bit on kind of your ministry philosophy.
Sure.
The main things you want to teach, why you teach youth, all that stuff.
Yeah. There's a couple questions in that.
I know. Pretty open-ended, though.
Yeah, so my goal for student ministry at First Church is to hopefully, you know, bring it back into alignment behind one mission. And I'm not saying it's not now, but I think that when there's a lot of potential barriers to entry, it can turn off a lot of parents or students to jumping into something new. There's already a lot of parents that have talked to me and said, hey, what's going on? What's going to happen? And you know, there's never like a right answer to respond to that, right? Because some want to hear, yeah, it's going to get blown up, right? And then others want to hear, yeah, nothing's changing. And so you can't really please anybody. And so really my philosophy then behind that is hopefully to, you know, be a stable voice that can be trusted and that can be reliable. And then once that is built through the semester, whatever that looks like, then, you know, thoughtful decisions can be made, right? You know, like being a young guy, like you guys get it. Like, it's like, I want to do my thing, you know,
of course.
But like, that doesn't mean that my thing is best, or maybe even if it is best, maybe it's not best right away. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, that's not something that I just naturally come by. It's also like, you know, I want to fall under the leadership of the church as well. And the church has gone through a lot of change from the top, you know? And so I'm still trying to learn, you know, Pastor Shane's vision too. And so then that kind of shifts to your second question, like ministry philosophy. I mean, I think that it's easy when we talk about philosophy to kind of get bogged down with the doing and not like the why, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of youth pastors that kind of have like their model of, you know, we do it this way, or, you know, we do games like this, or we do sessions like this. More so my thing is to, well, first, this is my first time being a lead youth pastor, right? And so I'm trying to learn as well.
Yeah.
But my hope, and I suppose a philosophy would even be like, what do the students need? And then how can we meet those needs? Right? I mean, we know that big picture, they need to know Jesus, right? But I think we've seen that through church history, especially in the modern context, knowing Jesus, or at least how we think that people do, hasn't led to a lot of success for retention and in the faith. You know what I mean? And so, like, I would say what I hope not to do is just the same thing for the same thing's sake, you know? But still, like, my philosophy is preach the gospel. You know, preach the gospel and let the Holy Spirit convict. And then when the Spirit convicts your heart, call for action and then follow up with consistent discipleship, right? And that's why you guys are here, you know? I mean, you guys, as, you know, student leaders, as leaders of students, are doing a lot of that hard work discipleship, right? So
yeah, I guess background for people that
for sure
may not be listening, Zach and I, he leads...
Ninth grade,
and I lead the 10th grade.
Yeah.
We've both been with them for 3 years.
This is year four, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
That's awesome.
Holy cow. Yeah, so, I mean, some guy trusted us at 18 years old to come in.
It was a little bit wild, but...
And help out, no. Yeah. But they were middle schoolers, and so...
No, it's all right. Yeah, for sure. And it's like... And this is kind of where I'm at, too, is... I would rather have people that want to be there, you know, that may be 18, a little bit raw, a little bit immature, rather than having, you know, 55-year-olds who we do need, but are just there just because, you know what I mean? And that's not how our student ministry is at all. Like, everybody that's there wants to be there.
Yeah.
And that's something that is super rare from my church experience, you know, in the past, too. And so, like, that's a huge blessing already. Mm-hmm. And that's something I already have way out ahead of me, that I don't have to do as much, you know, recruiting, because you guys want to be here.
And even recruiting without knowing anybody, because exactly. You just got there. Well,
I mean, it's like, I can't be recruiting, so I don't know anybody. It's like purely free agents, and I don't know anybody, so...
That, yeah, a few weeks before school as well.
Exactly. No, true. Well, and that's crazy, because like I left a school.
Yeah.
And so, like, leaving, you know, on great terms, not the most ideal way, just from, like, my love of the people there, but, like, it was leaving a thing short term and then jumping into a thing short term, you know? And so that was, you know, pretty crazy too. Yeah.
How, I guess you want to start with why you became a youth pastor.
For sure. Just, no, for sure.
Maybe just, let's get to that point, but maybe start with just growing up, what that looked like.
Yeah. I mean, so I grew up in Warsaw. I've lived here my whole life. I never planned on leaving. And if I guess if I do leave, it'll just be down the road to Pierston or Columbia City or something. So, but yeah, my parents live here. My grandparents live here. My grandfather just went to be with the Lord like a month ago. And so that's been a growing experience for me too. But yeah, I've always felt like I've been gifted talking to youth, I guess, or to the next generation. Growing up, my parents are Christian, so I've known the Lord forever, or at least known of Him, maybe.
Okay. You know?
And so, like, I've never known a day without knowing Jesus. I did the, you know, little kid thing of asking the Lord into my heart when I was five or something. But like, you know, like most of our stories, that doesn't really magically flip a switch, you know. I wish I could say when I, you know, accepted the Lord and in my heart I never sinned again, but that'd be lying.
That'd be a sin.
Yeah, true. Yep. Don't lie. But yeah, so growing up, my parents are Christians. My parents legit live like 4 minutes down the road from here. We see them all the time. But growing up, yeah, when I went to the same church from the day I was born until 4 weeks ago. And so, you know, have been a part of a lot of consistent Christian communities. But when I got into middle school is really when, and I'm kind of getting into a little bit of testimony conversation here. But
I like it.
When I got into middle school is really when I started probably my a lot of struggles with body image. I just really hated how I looked and how I felt and how people saw me. And so because of that, I started to mask my insecurities using my tongue. I was super sharp, super sarcastic. You know, I didn't want people to feel like they could get things past me, because I was just so quick, you know, just like super quick-witted. Honestly, like a huge jerk, for sure. And I just hated going to middle school. I just hated going to school. I used to try to make myself puke in the bathroom so I could go home, because if you puke, you get to go home, oh, right? Yeah. And so, like, a lot of days, that was successful. And then my parents would be like, "You're not sick."
How many times can you puke a year?
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised if you try and, you know, do a little tactical in the bathroom, and you know. But anyway, so, and then when I got 13 or 14 is when I got my first cell phone, and that was probably a big turning point in my life, from the standpoint of, I started to find my identity through that, right? Spent a lot of time, endless, countless hours on my phone, and then rather than, you know, going to sleep and waking up to go to school, I hated going to school, so I would just stay up all night on my phone. Mm-hmm. You know, because then I didn't have to go to sleep, because then I didn't have to wake up, and then I didn't have to go to school, right? And so, so that kind of starts to snowball itself. But I, you know, stumbled into or, you know, found pornography when I was probably 13 or so. You know, I think the stats are like 10 now or something crazy.
Really?
Yeah. But like, you know, and that's started, another huge... I'm not going to say struggle, because I didn't struggle with it. It was just sin. It was in a, you know, a addiction that, you know, it's probably the most consistent I've ever been with anything in my life, you know, is my partaking in, you know, pornography and sexual sin. And so, but so that that starting point when I was a young teenager through my, you know, early college years really shaped my my desire to know the Lord more, but to also not see people struggle and fail the way I did for a decade of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, and so because of that and because of, you know, my disposition to not really like worry about people think about me, I felt the Lord kind of beckoning me back to Him, you know, drawing near to me when I was in early college. And because I was a business major at Grace, graduated with my degree in business, and then I kind of just served at my church.
Yeah.
You know, I was an intern for a couple of years, and then I got laid off during COVID from my business job, and then was the middle school director or whatever they called it there at Winona Lake Grace, and led some young adult stuff, and then was a administrator at Lakeland Christian Academy for a couple of years, and then this job. They didn't reach out to me. Like I just know Tiberius, and I was like, hey, what do you think about this job?
Yeah.
And he's like, that's a great place. And so I shot my resume, and then we kind of got the ball rolling. And so all of that to say, why do I want to do this job? Well, one, because I fervently 100% believe, that, you know, faithful people like us hopefully can turn the tide on, you know, 70% of kids walking away from their faith the second they graduate high school. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not for like us to feel good. That's because, you know, like, I mean, your generation, but even the one like coming up after you guys is like everything is stacked against them, you know? And so I feel that there's a need for young people to hear truth and to hear it from a standpoint of, I love you, so I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, our culture now says, I love you, so I'm going to agree with the things you do. And that's not love, right? That's just, you know, affirming sin usually.
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel that there's a need for that. And it's also, God has lined us up, you know, where I've just said, like, okay, God, like, I'm going to try and be faithful. And so, if you give me an opportunity to walk into, the least I could do is just walk into it. You know what I'm saying? And so, because I'm not like, I think talking strongly about God's calling on my life is, that'd be a bit too arrogant for me. I think God's calling is for us to be faithful to the things He's given us. And then that's it. Yeah. It doesn't matter what job you do. You know, hopefully your job you can love, which I do love my job. But even if I was working at a factory or if I was working at Zimmer Biomet, That doesn't mean God's calling on my life is to go and make disciples, mm-hmm. right? That's it. And so if that means that I'd be working as a youth pastor, great. Like, awesome. I think I'm great at this job. Still room to grow, but, you know, that's just kind of, you know, kind of throwing that in there. But, and so that's really an encouragement to, like, you know, students. Like, God's calling on your life is to love Him, and that's it. And so if that leads you down 80 different paths, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. what's your opinion on calling? Or do you have a strong one?
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of that kind of goes back to that big 2-year stretch of high school where you're mm-hmm. like, where am I being called? What do I want to do?
Right.
Whatever. And originally I wanted to teach.
Yeah. You'd be great at that.
I don't know.
I feel like you'd be pretty good at it, but
I wanted to teach elementary school, then hopefully be a principal, and then also coach basketball at the same time.
Yeah,
awesome. Do all of that. I wanted to go to Grace because Brett Sikafoos was going there, mm-hmm. Drew Sigler, a lot of my friends. I just thought it'd be a good place to hang out. Yeah. Whatever. Parents said no. Like, okay, well,
yeah.
Kind of went back and forth a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. About 4 or 5 months, so I applied to a few other places, and I got into Ball State, I mm-hmm. got into PFW, I got into Grace.
Yeah.
3 places I applied.
Yeah.
Not anything crazy. I think anyone can.
Yeah,
so it's
right, sure.
I'm not saying I got into Harvard here, but so I talked to my parents about it, and they're like, hey, you're going to PFW. I don't want to go to PFW. I'd rather go to the other two.
And yeah.
They're like, we're not helping if you don't go to PFW or something like that.
Yeah.
It was just a very strong, like, hey, you're going to PFW.
Right.
It wasn't a verbal God coming down saying, hey, go to PFW. It wasn't.
If that happens, let me know, though.
I would let everyone know.
All right, good, good, good. Yes.
It wasn't a, I dreamed and
yeah,
an angel spoke to me. It wasn't anything like that. Not that God can't do that. God can do anything. That's just not typically what we see and what we work with. And yep. So I really loved how you came out to Young Adults the other night and said, calling, and this is why I kind of asked you what that calling question was. Mm-hmm. Calling isn't a God necessarily telling you to do something. It's him opening and closing mm-hmm. doors. Mm-hmm. And so I think my calling was to go to PFW because that's the option my parents pushed me to go to. That's mm-hmm. what they helped me the most financially yeah. with. That's just the way the ball rolled. And so from there, week one, I met some of the greatest friend group of my life. A few weeks later, I got to bring Zach out there to watch some football with some guys. Then, you know, Drew Dunham goes to PFW, and so he would meet up with us, and just that was clearly his calling based off of the way I see how he worked now. So I don't know, that's more of a just personal experience of that. And like I said, and you said a few Wednesdays ago, of the calling is just, okay, this opportunity closed, on to the next. Oh, that works.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, right.
Just obviously praying and discerning over it, too. No, for sure. But
yeah, I mean, and like, and part of your, you know, calling or your responsibility was to honor your parents.
Of course.
Right? And so, like, you did your job, right? When you live at home with your parents, your job is to honor your mother and father. That's how you honor God, right? And so you, whether you liked it or not, you know, you relented to your parents and their desires for you, even if you didn't love it, right? And God honors those things, right? God honors faithfulness. And so that's honestly like a great story there.
Yeah, and you know? I mean, looking back now, I mean, I thank them constantly for, and apologize for just some of the conflict and hardships we had. But I mean, it worked out far greater than any of the other two options I could think of. So
that's cool. Thanks for sharing that. That's neat.
Yeah. I guess kind of follow up a lot of your last answering of four or five questions. You want to teach truth to our youth because that's the most loving thing you can do.
That's right.
How do you go about that?
Right. So, I mean, I would say ideally it's not just to the youth, right? It's to you guys and it's to the leaders and it's, you know, if I get a chance to preach at church or something, it'd be to that too. But I mean, like, I fervently believe that the most loving thing that you can do for someone is to tell them the truth, right? And so what do I mean? I mean, the most loving thing that you can do for someone is to follow God, right? God is truth. God is love. God is all the things at the same time. And so why I say it like that is because one of the largest lies of culture at large, even Christian culture in a lot of ways today, is the most loving thing you can do for someone is to agree with them, right? And that's something that parents struggle a lot with, is like, I can't tell my kid no because it means that I don't love them. No.
That's so like, wrong.
Like, one of the most loving things you can do for a child is to love them, right? It's kind of the same idea of like, in schools, people always say, my job is to teach them how to learn, not what to learn. That's the biggest lie I've ever heard. People always teach what to learn, right? I mean, ideally, if everything was neutral, right, and maybe our world used to be neutral in a sense, but now it's anti-Christian. It's a negative world wherein, like, disposition now is basically anti-Christian. Like, that's, like, normal. And so because of that, like, that'd be like me saying, I'm just teaching students, like, how to read the Bible. I mean, that's true, but it's also, we need to teach them, what does the Bible say? Right? And here is how you read it. Mm-hmm. Right? Because, like, what is it? I think Matt Chandler always says it, like, you're not David. Right? Like you're not David and Goliath is not your finances. Right? It's like, no. Like, we're, you know, David is Jesus in that story. Right? And Goliath is our sin. And we're like one of the soldiers that are like, you know, squatting in the tent, afraid to come out. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure what your question was, but yeah, teaching truth. So when it comes to teaching, my first goal and my requirement is that I'm living it first, right? Not perfectly, like that. I mean, obviously, like that goes without saying, but like if I'm asking you guys as leaders or students to, you know, have accountability in your life, right? That's because I have accountability in my life, right? Or if I'm asking you guys to, you know, serve, it's because I'm doing the same, you know. Or if it's like, you know, I'm preaching strong against the spirit of the age, you know, that tells a 12-year-old girl she can be a boy, right? It is bringing the reality of scripture, or maybe even larger picture theology, right? And taking the reality of theology, and if we're saying we are Christians, then that means everything we do is through the lens of being a Christian. It's teaching truth means that book is that we don't just read it, we don't just talk about it, we actually live it. And living it means every single area, right? It's how we give our money, it's how we spend our time, it's how we spend relational capacity, it's when we talk about voting, right? It's how we love our parents, it's how we interact with friends. Everything we do has to come from that. Because we may say like, no, you know, some of that, you know, homosexual stuff, that's not a biblical issue. Well, everything is theological. Everything is. And so because of that, that speaks to all of it, mm-hmm. right? And so teaching truth doesn't just mean, hey, Jesus loves you, he died for you, he rose again, so you can now be righteous in God's eyes. That's truth. But it's also saying, because of that, right, we live a different way. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, of course.
And so because of that, we live a different way, right? We don't live out a Christian life because life is going to be better. We live out a Christian life because we're saying God is better than life, right? And so when I talk about teaching truth, it's that I'm saying, hey, first of all, I need this first. And second of all these things that we struggle with, all of our struggles or sins, you know, Jesus addressed those things, right? And so that is the foundation of our life. And so the truth is, we have to live, you know, with that in mind, yeah. You know, so.
There's a whole lot of issues that you can get into.
Yeah.
All of the things that young kids are facing. That's horrible. And
yeah, I mean, we face them too, but yeah.
It's, of course.
It seems like it's even more now. Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, I feel like we were just talking on the way here five, 6 years ago when we were just in high school, and I mean, we were in high school 4 years ago, but 5, 6 years ago, we were just surrounded by just meanness, by our buddies just, and sometimes us just completely disregarding scripture for the betterness of ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think it's so difficult for the school systems and the small, I don't know if I want to say small amount of strong Christians in the school, but
yeah,
I mean for the Christians in the school, it's right. So difficult to lean on truth and to lean on God's word when you're surrounded by
it is right
the complete opposite every single day. And hopefully we can and with your leading best equip them to go into the schools to stand on truth, to share that
for sure,
and lean on that.
No, so. and that's true, and it's like. We need to, you know, reset the expectation for a 16-year-old boy that goes to a public school, right? Like, you know, and I'm not knocking any parents here because my parents did the same. Was like, we want you to be a light in the darkness. It's like, well, first of all, that doesn't even make sense. Like, a 16-year-old is not a missionary, right? A 16-year-old is a 16-year-old, right? And so, like, we don't need to set the expectation of, hey, you know, Johnny is going to go evangelize his whole school. That'd be great, Like, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, why not? But also, that's a lot of pressure on Johnny, right? Johnny's just trying to figure out, you know, what does it mean for him to, you know, honor his mother and father, much less how to, you know, face down, you know, all of his friends or the people he's around, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, and that's part of, you know, hopefully we can help, I can help equip parents to, you know, how can we best use language that's effective? Right, I mean, we've given up truth to the public school now for five generations, you know, and so again, it's like we just have to kind of have real expectations here,
yeah.
You know, of a child, and that's why my expectations are where they're at and how we can best, you know, teach the reality of the gospel, but do it in a way that is actually applicable, right, and tangible, not just a super good idea.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. With that, tell us a little bit about the sermon series, whatever you call it, the sermon series that we're going through in youth group.
It is a sermon series.
10-10 yeah. Life. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, this is an idea that it's not mine. I didn't come up with it, but it comes from John 10:10. You know, and that's when Jesus is talking, and he's really talking about himself. But he's talking about how he's the shepherd, we're the sheep, and he's the gate to abundance, to an abundant life, or to, you know, outside of that, you know, that shelter where the sheep would be, that outside of it is an enemy who's trying to, I mean, his goal is to destroy us, and his tactics are stealing, killing, and destroying, mm-hmm. and because his goal is to destroy our hope in Jesus. Because he wants to be on the throne, right? I mean, we've known that since the beginning. That's why he got pushed out of heaven, you know? And so the 10:10 life comes from John 10:10, which is the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And so what Jesus is saying there is when you place your trust and your surrender in me, I give you not just, you know, wealth, health, and all that crap. But he's saying, I give you a purpose that is now larger than your life. I give you a hope that cannot be extinguished by the enemy. I give you freedom now from the condemnation of your biggest problem, which is sin, right? And so my goal for this series, and really hopefully for this whole, the whole time that I'm doing student ministry, is helping students live a 10-10 life, which is living life in the reality that we have an enemy, but then in the practicality that we have a Savior who doesn't just say, you know, you're good to go, I'll see you in heaven, but who says, because of the way that I can prescribe to you to live, your life will actually be better, right? And again, it's like, what does better mean, right? I mean, better means it's more than just our tangible inside, you know, soul of our flesh that we can find. It is that Jesus has given us all the things we need to be successful in a kingdom way, right? And so the series of the 10-10 life, you know, we're going to address things like, I mean, this on Sunday, I'm going to be talking about abundant gratitude, right? I mean, that's one of the things, like the largest things that students that we struggle with is being grateful, you know, like not being, you know, like not feeling like we deserve things, you know, we don't deserve anything. We deserve, if things were fair, we'd be on the cross, right? That's fairness. You know, abundant gratitude. We're going to talk about abundant peace, and we're going to talk some about anxiety. We're going to talk about abundant discipline and how to free ourselves from the procrastination and, you know, distractions from the world. You know, so just some topics like that where we continuously go back to the reality of what Jesus is saying.
Of course. I guess when you're teaching, how would you... And I hear you've touched on this a bit so far in Sunday morning, Sunday PM.
Sure.
But I guess what a saving faith looks like.
Yeah. Well, I think what it doesn't look like is, you know, purely just going to church and reading your Bible and praying every day. You know, a saving faith is not a something that you are doing.
Yeah.
You know, proof of that faith may be things that you're doing. But what a saving faith is saying, Jesus, I'm not enough. You know, my sin's going to send me to hell, and I need someone to save me.
Yeah.
And then, and Jesus has already said, good, I've already done it. Right? Believe in me, you know. You know, what does it say in Romans 10? Like, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved, right? And so what that is saying is, I surrender what I think is best to what Jesus says is better,
yeah.
Right? And then because of that, because of the reality of that new, you know, stance in God's eyes, we should live differently, right? And maybe a proof of that faith is the works, is the fruit, right? But those things that happen after, those don't, you know, give us assurance of the former. I mean, I think there's a pastor that I love named Joby Martin, and he says, the only thing that we brought to our salvation is the sin that needed it, right? That's it.
Yeah.
That's all we bring to the cross is just our sin. And so what does it, so a saving faith in a pure and simple, you know, sentence is, you know, I'm broken, I'm a sinner, Lord save me. And then because of that saving, we live differently, you know? Yeah. And then that's really what all of this is even about, is once we've been saved, how do we live? That's what the 10-10 life is about.
Of course. Right? And so, I mean, I really enjoy that because, yes, it is not a works-based salvation. It is absolutely nothing we can do, and there's nothing we could ever do.
No, yeah,
to
right.
earn our spot in heaven.
You're right.
But through Christ, I mean, James, without works, your faith is dead.
That's right.
John 3, whoever does not obey will not receive eternal life. And yeah. So just
right.
many, many, many verses in here that back the, yes, is not an action or a work that gets you into heaven. There absolutely should be reflections of of your saving faith through mm-hmm. the way you live.
Yeah.
I know our young adults have, I guess, had a few of these discussions where if you were on trial for being a Christian, if being a Christian was illegal
that's
and
right.
you were on trial,
yep.
what would your verdict be
for sure.
compared to, and you're like your 10 closest people is the jury.
Yeah.
Your 10 coworkers, your that's 10 a, schoolmates, that's whatever. A tough one.
Yeah, that's real.
I don't know, you know, so that's just stuff that I hope that we can really lean on as
we're
encouraging students. Yes, not only believe, but live this abundant life. And abundant life isn't the Joel Osteen, you'll be rich, whatever. Yeah. Not at all.
Health, wealth.
You could be very, very poor and have an abundant life.
That's
so,
right. And you probably will be poor. Because you'll be abundantly generous, just like Pastor Shane talks about, right? And so, you know, it goes beyond just the things. You know, life is not just about material things, you know? So, yeah, that's really deep.
Yeah.
That's good.
Little more lighthearted question. What's, like, your favorite passage in the Bible or
third passage,
story or...
Yeah. So my favorite passage, it changes a lot. I'm not great at scripture memorization, but it seems kind of like whichever one I'm trying to memorize at the moment is my favorite.
How do you do that?
How do I memorize it?
Yeah.
I really believe that scripture memorization is huge, and it's something I'm not good at. That's why I'm trying to become better at it. And so because of that, like what I've And really what fostered this was kind of a men's group that I'm a part of, and part of it is scripture memorization. And so what I usually do is I just find a passage. For example, Ephesians 6 is the one that I've memorized, talking about the full armor of God, right? And so what I basically did was I would just write out one of the verses, you know, and I would say it out loud to myself a lot of times, and then I would say it out loud to someone else. Because that's really when, you know, the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
And so I would say it out loud to my wife, and then I would have her hold the paper, and then I would say it, make sure I got the words right. And so I would just keep saying it out loud, and then the more I say it out loud, the more it gets locked in.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm more of a verbal processor, if you can't tell. And so, but my favorite verse right now And it's been this way for a couple of years now. I guess I kind of lied about that. But it's the end of Ephesians 6 where Paul is talking about putting on the full armor of God. I'm not sure which specific verse it is, but just when he says, like, you know, and pray also for me that I may share the mystery of the gospel and that I may declare it as fearlessly as I should. Right. And that, like, encapsulates all of the things, hopefully, that we're going through this year, is like that the gospel is indeed a mystery, but that, you know, pray for me. Right. And like, this is me asking it. Right. Is as someone who is like a pastor, that I may declare it as fearlessly as I should, right? Without fear means that I'm not embarrassed. I'm not, you know, I'm not worried about people think about me, because that's a desire of my heart, is that, and it may look outwardly, externally, visually, like I don't care what people think. It's more so, but it's easy to, you know, worry about what they think.
Of course.
Right. And so that's probably my favorite passage right now. It's just declaring the mystery of the gospel as fearlessly as I should. And then that, you know, it also implicates that Paul uses the word should, or like ought to, like it's our responsibility to. It's not just as fearlessly as I want to. It's as fearlessly as I should, because then he follows it up with, you know, by which I am an ambassador in chains. Right, like, I know Paul is saying, I'm chained to this thing. I mean, he's also literally in chains when he's writing this, right? He's in jail, but that even just like his language there is so cool, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's really easy to say. Not that you're wrong by any means, but I think that's easy to say when you work at a church, when you grew up in a Christian home.
It should be, hopefully.
All of that. Absolutely, yes, yeah, right. Yes. If not, you know, maybe you shouldn't be working in the church.
Right. Yeah, but, for sure.
How would you encourage, I guess, either guys like us or even students who don't work in a Christian environment? I have a really good work environment.
For sure.
I'm blessed by that.
Yeah, you are.
But it's not a Christian environment, Zach.
And that's not the norm.
A Christian environment. Yeah. Our schools are not Christian environments. So yeah. I guess how would you tell kids or even other people to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd start with Paul and say his wasn't a Christian environment either, right?
Fair.
I mean, you know, we know the story of Paul, but
he was killed. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, and you know, he was converted and he was killing people, and then, you know, so really, I would say, like, it starts with a posture, right? Or a, you know, a submission to God's will, which God's will for our life is that we'll share the gospel, right? That is his will for us.
Yeah.
That is what he wants from us.
It's commanded.
I mean, obviously he commands it, but it's also what he desires. It's not like he's just like wielding it and saying, you better go do this. He's saying, no. I desire you to do this because it's best, right? And so, I mean, I would say, if anything, the only thing that working at a church does for me in that context is it gives me a platform, right? Where, like, you know, say for a Sunday PM youth group, it's like kids show up and I'm just going to let it eat a little bit. But like, and this is such a cliche thing to say, is that everybody has a platform. Basically what that means is everybody has somebody that's going to listen or hear you, right? And the loudest way to declare the mystery, the reality of the gospel is not through your words, right? It's through your actions. It's through the way you treat people, you know? And that's probably one of the hardest things to do, is that, you know, when I used to work at Lakeland Christian, I dealt with a lot of discipline. Like boys from 4th grade to 12th grade, if they got in trouble, they'd come see me, right? And so because of that, There were kids in my office who I got to know really, really well, right? And especially younger ones. Like there's a little boy that I'm thinking of. He's a 5th grader now. I'm not going to say his name, but he would be in my office about every single day. And he was a sweet kid. He just couldn't really control himself and whatever. So he would always say, Mr. Jackson, right, because it was a school. He'd say, Mr. Jackson, it seems like the teachers just want or are just always thinking I'm in trouble, right? And so he would always say, how can I change that? And so, and this is the same for our faith, is, you know, there's the perception of what people think about you based on your actions, your choices, and what you show. And then there's, like, how you see yourself, right, which is probably different. And maybe it's like ideal, right? This is how I hope to be. And so there's a perception and there's like an internal sight, but then there's also that those two meet in the middle, and that's reality, right? In the middle of perception and how you see yourself is reality. And the only way to change that reality is consistency, right? And so people see Josh and they hopefully say, you're different, right? We're not sure how or why, but you're different. Why? Because you're consistent. People don't care if you're nice sometimes and mean the other times. You're just mean, right? People care about and start to actually see difference when it's consistent. And so my advice to young people, and this is me preaching to me, is you want people to think you're a Christian, act like one, right? You want people to listen to you preaching the gospel fearlessly, talk like one, right?
And all the time too,
right? Not just once. If you talk like it at church, I mean, well done, I guess. Like, you're supposed to. But when it's like when you're in the football locker room or when you're in the office, and a coworker is just driving you up a wall, or you've got a deadline coming down on you, right? Or your parents are just grinding your gears, right? That's when the Holy Spirit is giving you the opportunity to do the gospel, right? I mean, I love to say, Lord, give me strength, right? Lord, help me be patient. Lord, help me be generous. And how does God answer those prayers? He doesn't turn me into like the Hulk for strength, right? He says, no, that's not, dude. Don't even do that. But God says, okay, you want to be patient? I'm going to put you behind the slowest semi-truck on the way to work. And then you get the opportunity to, guess what? Grow in patience.
Yeah.
Right? And so if I could, you know, give one piece of truth to an 18-year-old on I want to share my faith, start with what is the perception of who you are, right? How do people see you? How do they see the things you post? How do they see the things you like? How do they see the things you talk about? If all of those things point in the opposite direction, you may want to check your heart first.
Of course.
Right? But don't expect God to honor you when you dishonor him. And it's not perfect. I'm probably being a bit broad here, but it's so real that, you know, if the stuff that you believe doesn't impact the stuff you do, you probably don't believe it, you know, or at least you don't believe it enough.
And I am totally slipping on the verse, and I'm completely paraphrasing here.
That's all right.
But there's a verse that says, what's in the heart, outcomes amount.
That's right, yeah,
so,
for sure.
There's also many verses that explain, hey, what you take in is essentially...
It's going to come out, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're consuming your day-to-day with radar movies, rap music on the way to school, whatever...
Crap.
You're going to be crap.
It's true.
It just makes sense. And so here's another point. Is that consistency that you said?
Yeah.
Our buddy Brett Sikifu said growing up, I'm completely paraphrasing him again. Sorry, Brett. He would say it takes a very long time to build that reputation.
Yeah.
But it takes one moment day to shatter
it. Right. Or character. Right. Yeah.
And so, if you're in the office every day and you're loving people well, you're talking about faith, all of that, and then deadline comes up and you just lose it.
Yeah.
You say an F word, whatever.
Dude. Yeah.
Ruined
for sure.
Oh, Christians say that for a lot.
Yeah, right. It's true.
You have to be consistent. It's true. And so,
right. Yeah. And that's like, you know, and that's coming back to like, you're not acting like a Christian so you can be a Christian, right? It's works does not save us.
Of course.
You are acting like a Christian because you have been saved.
It comes
right?
naturally.
Not to
yes.
get saved.
Right? It's not natural to.
It's not
to
natural,
have those desires,
but hopefully
yes.
it becomes more natural.
The verse right? on your fridge, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Yeah. And so when you're actively seeking the Lord, fulfilling your stuff with things that he desires and he loves,
right. yeah.
then those become the desires of your heart to where you actively
That's right.
live that.
Yeah, right. And so, like, and my wife writes those and she has them all around our house. She blesses me with those. But the word delight, like, in the Hebrew or whatever it is actually means like, you know, like submit, you know, like make yourself less.
Yeah.
You know, and so it like delight doesn't just mean like enjoy yourself in the Lord. It means like submit yourself to the Lord, right? And like that's even harder to do, you know. So, yeah.
Got anything?
What do you like to do for fun?
Yeah, I'm finding that
lift weights.
So fun lifting, pumping iron. No, I mean I do enjoy lifting weights, primarily because my wife and I do it together, right? And so like we have a crazy life, and we have two kids, two girls that are one's 2.5, one's 1.5, and they're 15 months apart. And so like when we do get the time, like we put them down like around 7:30 or 8 or whatever, and then like we have our gym back in our back garage, which we can walk back there and see it if you guys want to later. But
yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, so we go back there together and like we play some, you know, country music or whatever and just lift. Like, and that's where, and like as guys do, we talk better when we're doing stuff, right? Yeah. Like when we're, you know, not just sitting and talking, like when we're actually doing. And so like that's when, you know, like a lot of my thoughts from the day come back and we really like connect. And so, you know, we do that 4 or 5 times a week or so. And that's like how we met. That's how we connected. That's how we still connect and, you know, build ourselves up, build each other up. And so, you know, that's one thing that I do love doing. It's not even that I love it. Like, it's just what I do, you know, mm-hmm. like I don't even think about it anymore. It's just what I do. And I love, was that like a buddy or something?
That's our group chat we're in.
Oh, that's funny. Oh.
My phone it's called Gun Toting Patriots.
was it Joe?
I don't know.
Funny. That's funny.
Sorry.
No, that's totally fine. Yeah, I really like working around the house. Like, you know, this wall is still in the process of getting finished up. But like I did that, you know, just like, I mean, this house was built in 1953. And so there's just stuff that has to get fixed, you know. And so I love working with my hands and listening to podcasts and stuff. Like I'm a big audio learner when I'm doing. So I listen to sermons, listen to, you know, audio books. I love hanging with my girls. Like all three of us together, you know, when it's me and my three girls, like it's just awesome. You know, like we walk to the park down the road and like, and just like doing stuff like that is just what I really love doing, you know, especially like now that I'm working a job that is like, you know, it really asks a lot from me. And I would want to give a lot too, but like it really asks a lot. And so when I can just come home and, you know, have my daughters run to me and just like, Dada's home, like that's just the best, you know? And like, you know, Lord willing, you guys are going to experience that one day. But like, you know, when, like, and this probably goes back to a question you asked me earlier, but like once you have someone like that, like two little girls that like you have to stare in the eyes, and then you get an opportunity to hopefully change or impact a generation, right? Like talk about like the fire really burning real now is like, I don't want my girls to not be able to find a young man to marry because I didn't do a good enough job preaching truth and helping young men become free from sexual sin. And so I don't do this because I just love doing it. I do it because I love my daughters. Right. And I want them to be raised in a culture, but also in an environment that is like, we love the Lord and it's just what we do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so like, whether the church knew this or not, when they hired me, like they were getting somebody that was going to sell out, you know? And like I want to die. And on my deathbed, I say, I gave everything I had, like everything. It was all about the gospel. Right. And like that sounds motivating and really cool, but like I really believe it. And like even if that means like I get put in jail, like let's do it. You know what I mean? Like because having people free from sin and then you know, being able to live in that freedom, like that like we experience, maybe not all the time, but most of the time, like that's worth all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if that means our culture hates us, like who cares? Like, I don't care, you know?
We're doing it right if they do.
That's right, so. You know, for sure. I mean, I don't remember very many of the, you know, the apostles or the disciples that lived to be old men. So
yeah,
maybe we got to, you know, either get sent to Patmos or get our heads cut off, but I'm not sure which one.
There's
John lived to be an old man, but he got, you know, sent off to an island because they didn't want to kill him. So
that's,
and because, you know, he needed to write Revelation and whatnot, but you know,
yeah, I guess right. That's important.
Just stuff like that, you know, but like
basic stuff.
Yeah, you know, just like light reading,
casual Saturday afternoon,
right? You know, it's like.
How long do you think it took him?
I mean, I have no theological bounds to this, but I've heard people say, like, you know, God like downloaded it onto him, you know, like rather than just like spoke it to him and then he wrote it as God spoke. It was like, it was kind of just like a dump. And then John had to like decipher that dump.
Yeah.
You know, who and knows? So I mean, it probably just like logistically took him months at least.
Of course,
I mean,
yeah.
Like just to like to type that many words, it would take me that long. You know what I'm saying?
No joke.
And he was writing. No, exactly.
And he was pen and paper.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he may have been chipping that thing into stone. I don't know. So. I mean, it probably took him months. I don't know. I've never even considered how long it took him.
I have
him,
zero
so.
Clue, and I've never looked into that.
So. I probably won't either. So yeah. You know, it's like
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like I'm going to try and learn how to like decipher Revelation before I figure out
how long it took him to write it.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can go ahead and hit you with our final question. Ask all of our guests this. All of our guests the same final question. Consistency, that's what I like to hear here.
It's a make or break question.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty deep, so
yeah, for sure. I feel it from this build up, so
we could never sell it. If you could go anywhere for anywhere in the world, your dream vacation, who are you bringing, what are you doing, where are you going?
But there's no limitations.
Yeah.
So, no money limitations, no...
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, you can't go, like, live somewhere and call that a vacation, but, like...
Yeah, right. I'm probably going to underwhelm you guys here because, like, I don't love vacations. Like, I love being at home. But if I could go anywhere with anybody, it would probably be just me and my wife and to go to, like... probably to go either like on like a Alaskan cruise or something like that to like see, you know, places, or just go, you know, somewhere, like in the mountains that we could go hiking and, you know, like there's like a wood stove or a fireplace or something that we can sit by, that has like a, you know, just like a really nice little porch and
a pizza oven maybe.
Maybe a pizza oven. Yeah, that'd probably be nice. Or, you know, like a 2-in-1 pizza oven, wood stove type of deal. But I mean, yeah, like we're just simple people. Like, and then, you know, I know this is your last question, so I won't ramble on it. But like, I'm more than happy just being at home with my family. Like, we don't need to travel. We don't need anything extravagant. Like, you know, if I have enough money to like, you know, maybe buy a truck one day or something, like that'd be cool. But like, I truly think that God oftentimes will lead people to things because of the things that they struggle with. And so he'll lead you up to it and say, okay, now trust in me. Like I struggle with discontentment, with stuff. Like I just really like stuff. Like I you know, want a cool truck or a cool car or a nicer house. And like when I really get down to it, it's like, why? It's only for my flesh, right? It's only for people to think about me. And so like when we think of like even about vacations, like I cannot help but just think practically of like, you know, if we could fly somewhere, that'd be awesome. But like, I'd be fine driving, you know, or just stuff like that. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just keep it simple for me. You know, just like be with the people that I really love in a place that's, you know, just chill. So
I like it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's an easy one.
What did Pastor Shane say? Because he loves traveling. So did he say like a sweet place?
What did he say?
What the heck did Shane say?
I
don't remember.
Well, because he like flew to Vegas like on a whim with his wife, like just for fun.
I believe it was
dang,
a beach.
That's sweet, I guess. But
I think he just said a beach with his wife.
Probably. Yeah.
I think it was something fairly simple.
He didn't want all five of his kids there with him? Dang.
No, he did not.
Bad dad. No, I'm just kidding. Not.
You didn't say your kids?
I know.
Yeah. We've had all sorts of answers.
Yeah.
But
cool. Where would you guys go?
And we get asked that every time.
Really?
Yes.
We've changed our answers. We've changed our answers a lot. Yeah.
Would you go together?
No.
No, absolutely not.
We live together, so every day is a vacation. Right, you know?
Yeah. So I'm going to work. I'm going to vacation.
I've said anything from a Lions Super Bowl on the field to,
jeez,
you know, that's going to be reality.
I'm not sure that's like a real place. You think this year?
I think this is the year. Maybe I won't be there or on the field, but you know.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Where is the Super Bowl this year? Do you know?
Lions will be there. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Whatever.
All I need to know is they know where it is.
Well. We'll see what happens.
I've said Australia, South Africa. I'm not a big fan of Europe. I don't really care for Europe.
Yeah.
I don't want to just go.
That'll preach.
Sit in a city and eat or whatever.
I mean, we left it for a reason, like
exactly.
So
taxes.
I'm not coming back.
You know. No, I'd rather go to, I don't know, something where I can be adventurous in the wilderness,
yeah, right,
or a cool hunt. Or
do you like hunt regularly?
My dad's big into it, and I hunted fairly regularly,
okay,
growing up. But then with school and full time work, that
for
just
sure
got a lot.
It's hard.
So
yeah,
hopefully this year. But
cool. Yeah, for sure.
I'd probably go like on a fishing trip,
yeah,
in Canada or something.
You a big fisher?
I like fishing, okay, a lot. I don't go a lot. Cause
pike in Canada?
Yeah, something.
That'd be fun.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Like backpacking or something. Doing some...
No. I think we'd like ride four-wheelers out to the streams or something, but...
And a cool cabin with,
yeah,
with,
yeah,
heat.
Yeah, right. A central air.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
That's funny.
It'd be nice not freezing in the tent to death in, yeah, the Canadian wilderness.
Fair. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then, I guess that wasn't the last question. But,
oh, dang.
We asked some of the newer people in
Encore
our community and churches as well.
Okay.
Just who would you want to hear from on here? Like, if you, because you don't know a lot of people.
I don't. And, I should probably listen to some of these podcasts so I can like get to know people more, too. So, is it on Spotify?
Of course.
It is. Okay, good.
Spotify, Amazon,
Apple
Music,
YouTube.
Is
it's
it
on
like,
some
anywhere
like,
you find podcasts.
Okay.
It's on some really weird
like
places.
Rumble? It's on Rumble?
I don't
it
know.
It might be.
We have this full,
I don't know what that is.
We have this full network that just does it for us. We pay $7.50 each a month.
Oh, dang.
So we both
$7.50.
Yeah.
I didn't know what this podcast is.
So we like.
No, we don't make any money on this.
You don't want to shout out any sponsors. You don't want,
nope,
yeah, you
so
don't want me to shout out.
This episode is sponsored by. No, it's not sponsored by anybody.
Okay, yeah, so your question. Have you interviewed Owen?
Yeah.
Okay.
You should listen to that one.
All right, for sure.
People say we were a little hard on him. I don't think
really?
So.
Really? Probably just Zach. Just like making jokes about him the whole time.
Owen grew up in like a really small school, and so it's just funny to make fun
of
that.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of like homeschool vibes a little bit.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I love Owen. So just
of
like,
course.
Yeah,
Owen's
just,
awesome.
Just like messing with him is so
Owen's
funny.
Owen's awesome, yeah.
Is there anybody I'd like to hear?
Absolutely not at all.
I this is the best one yet, so no. I'm not. I don't really know. See, if there's a question you should have prepped me for, it would have been that one, because like I don't know that many people.
Fair.
You know what I mean? Have you had the? I know that the principal of Columbia City High School goes to First Church.
We have not.
That'd be an interesting one, probably.
Brady Mullet.
Yeah. You know, a conversation about you know public school and faith and how to balance those things. That'd be interesting to me.
My mom always texts me about that. She's like,
cool.
You're going to get Brady Mullet on.
Oh, for sure. That's really neat. Yeah, I don't really know.
It's okay.
I mean, you've probably had a lot of the staff on already. I mean, I would have said Tiberius, but you guys have already had him on too.
Yeah.
So I feel like everybody probably says Tiberius. he's a good one to listen to.
He was a sought after one. Highly requested.
I bet. Yeah, probably one of your best, you know.
We don't rank them, but
probably your best for listener count, maybe.
And we honestly don't. I mean, I don't check.
I have not looked at any of that stuff.
Yeah, you just kind of do it.
If we're failing, let us know. But
we're gonna keep going.
I mean, we won't know because we're failing. If you're not listening or watching.
Actually, if you listen, let us know. That's probably
right.
Easier.
That's better. That's better. If you like it, tell us.
No one is still listening right now.
Right. No, I don't really have anybody that I can even think of. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
No, nope.
I'm not sure about anybody
it's
else.
Fine.
Yeah,
fine.
If I think of somebody, I'll text you though.
Please.
If I do think of somebody, but I've still got to get to know more people. So
yeah,
I'm trying to get there.
Of course.
Yeah.
But thank you for
we
having
really
us over
it.
And
absolutely.
Opening up.
And yeah, anytime.
Do you have any?
It was really fun.
I guess closing remarks you would like to make or.
Well, if anybody's still listening. I mean, I'm really God's continued to show that when we're faithful to Him, He'll be faithful to us. Like, I didn't know if this job would be the right job for me. Like, I went into the application. Like, I don't want to take this job. Like, I love the church I'm at. I feel like I belong there. And then through a lot of conversations, God made it obvious, like, that this is the right next thing. And because of that, because of my faithfulness to Him, and really my wife encouraging me, is like meeting guys like you, you know, spending time with the staff at First Church, which is a really good team, you know, meeting the other leaders from Sunday PM and whatnot, like, it made it, it continues to, like, hammer home, like, be faithful to God, like honor his desires for you, and, like, he'll heap, you know, blessings upon you. Like, you know, even like you guys don't even understand, like, how much this blesses me just to, like, get to know you both and, like, talk and listen. Like, that's just really special, you know, and, like, leaving a community, you know, like, 'cause your church is your community.
Of course.
And so, like, leaving a community to, like, get involved with a new one is, like, a terrifying prospect. Especially as, like, a husband and a father of, like, my wife and how are we all going to do it. But, like, it has been crystal clear it was the right move, you know, like this community that, I mean, I don't live there yet, but, like, is just really special, you know?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, for yet. Sure. I mean, yeah, I mean, dude, I'm not driving 25 minutes the rest of my life. Like, I'm a small town kid. Like, I don't want to drive. and so, like, I don't know. I mean, it gets, unless someone wants to bless me with a house or some land or something, like,
it's not that easy.
I don't make enough money to buy a new house right now. Like, I barely bought this one. But no, like, yeah, just try and be honest about where God is leading, and then just step into that thing. You know what I mean? Like, kind of no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably my last remarks. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I mean, I love podcasts, and so if you ever want to have me back or not, it doesn't matter. But
of course, and thanks. Even if you want to be sure. Even if you want to be on the other side, we've had a few. Dave Waringa, he was kind of on this other side last week as well, interviewing some people.
Oh, dude, for sure.
So if you ever, you know, want to hop on the other side, let us know.
More so, invite me.
Okay.
Because, like, I don't want to bulldoze my way into something. So, like, please just.
Well, I heard that's what you're doing with the youth group, too. You're just bulldozing.
Yeah, you're just going in, just making your way.
Yeah, well, your own. You know, when people ask you to lead, sometimes you got to lead. You know what I'm saying? So, no. Right.
All right. Let's. Cool. No right. One's listening. So.
For sure. Yeah. This thing's been dead for 30 minutes. Yes. I don't know.
But if you are listening still, we appreciate it. Yeah, thank for you. Sure. We always ask, hey, leave some feedback, leave responses, let us know. We love constructive criticism, so however we can best improve this for you guys and your listening experience, let us know.
Yeah.
But yeah, once again, don't know when you'll hear from us again, but we'll see you soon. We'll be back
at some point.
All right. Peace.
See you guys.